You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build the social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I'm sitting down with Adrienne Aiken, who's a self-published author. She's a Zia independent rep, emotional intelligence coach, learning and development professional, and a recovering self-doubter who wants to help women let go of the negative sabotaging self-dialogue and truly love who they are. This is how she feels we truly become who we are meant to be. So thank you so much for jumping on the podcast today, Adrienne. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm excited to get caught back up. Adrienne and I actually know each other from working in the health and fitness industry, and we were both in learning and development. So that is so interesting. You know, like your roots connect you to, you know, where you end up going in life. And it's amazing that obviously like your path has led you. Not only are you still like learning and development is a heartbeat of what you do, but then alongside with this additional teaching that has come from helping women let go of that, you know, that negative space that takes up in their mind. And like, it's another branch of teaching for you. So it's like, it's so cool to see that evolution happen. So why don't we just start a little bit with learning a little bit more about you and what, you know, what your story is, how you came to want to help women in this area.
Yeah. So I would say a lot of it started with getting into the space myself. And I think on social media, following some people who were already in that sort of self-love space. And I think realizing after some work on myself, how different, I don't want to say different, but more confident I became as I did that work on myself. And it was very interesting to look back at my life and think some of the decisions that I made or didn't make could have been because of the way I felt about myself or hadn't quite embraced myself. Or, I mean, you could say maybe lack of confidence, but I think a lot of it is at the root of it, not truly loving who you are and being okay with making decisions based on your strengths and weaknesses. When I sort of, I guess, went down that path of, you know, learning more about myself and realizing that I could help other people and that other people are craving this kind of work and it would really help them.
Yeah. And one thing that looking at your quote unquote resume, you know, like starting off in network marketing 20 years ago, having a couple of different, you know, side hustles that you were working in. I know you shared with me earlier, you started off with, you know, as a Tupperware girl. It's like interesting to see how from the outside, being someone that knew you, how like, man, when I looked at you, I was like, there was no crack in confidence at all. And it is interesting sometimes when you look at another person, you can feel like they aren't going through those same emotions that I am. Yes. I think we all have that, you know, I always say it's like looking in a mirror, like we see the cracks in that mirror because we've been with ourselves this whole time. Yeah. Like we know the emotional up and downs and other people just don't see that. You know, they only sometimes see us at our highlight reel when they think we're at our best.
Yeah. Totally. I think a lot of people, maybe especially when they read this, because the book comes out in 2 weeks officially. Now, I let some people close to me read it first, but as I was writing it and I realized that exact thing, that there might be some people who might be surprised because throughout my life, I think even when I was early on in my career with fitness, people would have said, oh, you're intimidating, you're so confident. And I think I was able to put on a front. To say in my head all the time and sometimes out loud, like fake it till you make it. While I was putting on that front of seeming like I was a confident person, And I mean, it's not that I wasn't a confident person. See, I think there's between confidence and self-love, but inside I was dealing with that internal dialogue of not liking the skin I was in that pursuit of always wanting to change my body. Even when I was at my lowest weight with like 17% body fat and still like just looking in the mirror, thinking I was terrible things about myself, like thinking I was fat or I was, why can't I just lose another 5 pounds, and constantly thinking that way about my body and never getting to the point where I was just appreciating and loving what my body could do. I was always focused on what it could look like. So I think that although I was maybe confident, I was still struggling with that inside my head. So then I would make decisions that weren't necessarily in, I don't want to say my own best interest, but based on what I thought other people would want from me or expect from me, as opposed to coming from a place of, I love myself, I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses, and I know this is the best decision for me and my path.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And so I want to mention your book, Self Love Club, to make sure that everyone listening out there that is really interested in diving into this can go and read that, and specifically the chapter that, do you know which one it is, just in case you're looking?
Yes, I'm actually chapter one. So when I open,
yes, okay,
yes,
right, chapter at the beginning.
One. Yeah,
perfect. And then the second question I have for you, because I think you made a really important distinction here. What is the difference between confidence and self-love?
Again, I think that confidence can be faked. I really do. I think you can fake confidence, and you can, I think we wear a lot of different hats in our life. And like you said, you don't always know what someone's thinking inside their head. Do that kind of mindset where you're like, hey, I'm going to put on a show today and, you know, put my shoulders back and put my game face on and look and appear that I'm a confident person. I don't think that you can truly step into that unless you have self-love for yourself. And I don't, and self-love doesn't necessarily, like, I don't believe self-love means that you never have goals and you don't want to continue to develop yourself and, you know, eat healthier, work out. That's still okay. But loving who you truly are takes a little bit of work. Like, it takes work to get to know yourself and find out your true strengths. I think embracing those weaknesses, right? I also think self-love has a lot to do with, some people think it's, oh, don't worry about what other people think about you, or just, you know, put that away. I hear that a lot with especially social media saying, you know, don't worry about what other people say or think, or just do your thing. And that's easy to say, but I think we're human and we want to be loved and we want to love other people. So that's just natural. You're going to care a little bit about what people think. And sometimes it's going to hurt when someone says something, but when you truly love yourself and you truly can get to that place of, you believe in yourself, you trust your path, that you can still care what other people think, you can still get hurt, but you're making decisions based on what you know is best for you, not what you think you're going to say and do.
I love that. It's like
he's going to have an opinion about you, no matter if you do right. or you don't.
Yeah. It's like an internal compass that is like the home base you go back to versus, and that being able to be swayed almost in a way. And it's like, loving the journey itself, like wherever you are, versus I will love myself when. In a way, like, confidence almost feels like it's more of, the meaning that comes to mind for me around confidence is sort of like almost like a skill set or something that is definitely, in a way, it feels more external than internal. Like, self-love feels very like internal and almost like the chemistry of what's going on, you know, like, and how you interact with that.
Yeah, I would say when you love yourself, you make decisions that are for yourself. So that anywhere from when you think about your exercise, when you think about your food, your sleep, like, you make decisions based on what is best for your body, what is best for how you feel. For some people, you do have to take some time to reflect and do that work, do that digging, and trying to be exteriorly looking perfect to everybody else so that people think I'm confident, or do I truly love the person I'm being today? Do I love the person I'm showing up, how I'm showing up online? Or am I trying to be something else? Am I trying to look like, you know, Mary or Susan, whoever it is, because you think that that's the way you're supposed to show up, right?
Yeah. It's almost like you just made something really clear for me when thinking about self-love, it's like making decisions out of love for yourself, which maybe sounds really simple when you put those words together, but I think that, like you said, it's sort of thrown around a lot like this. There's like a lot of hype right now behind it, right? Mm-hmm. But it feels like if I were to put it into like a manifesto or something that was like a living, breathing thing, it would be like making decisions out of love for myself. Mm-hmm. And not for anyone else. Like, it's an interesting, easy way that you just put that, that sort of like, it makes a lot more sense. Because it is an interesting relationship. The, you know, self-love comes to mind of like, oh, I've got to just love myself at all times. But it's like you make decisions even for your kids that are out of love. Yeah. And there's a difference of making decisions out of love versus just like, over love it. Like, you know, there's sort of a doing it for the higher purpose and that's really cool. I love how you just explained that. So I want to connect. I loved what you had actually said to me earlier about social media and this idea of liking who you are has to come before getting likes on social media. Mm-hmm. So I want to dig into that. Like, and I know that you know, you've told us a little bit about your journey, and I sort of want to dig a little more into your journey around body image and eating disorder. And I know that infertility is one of those things as well that you went through. So can you tell us, like, walk us through a little bit of that and then how this turned into really getting a hold of liking yourself and, you know, that how that translated?
So you can read it in the book, but it started really early on for me, this need to please other people. I was a competitive gymnast from around 9. I was in gymnastics since I was very, very little, but started to do competitive gymnastics. And there was just a lot of comments about, you know, looking like, I guess, your typical gymnast, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of those things kind of got into my head about looking a certain way to please someone else. So first was, you know, whether it be my gymnastic coach at the time. And it was just this need to please someone else about how I looked externally. So that kind of turned into some other, you know, comments with other kids. And very early on, I started struggling with my food. So whether that be not eating or binging and purging, I would feel like I'd eat something and then instantly feel really disgusting. So, and still when I read my chapter, I got a little bit teary eyed because I was really young when I started this in my teens, and it was a secret from everybody as well with eating disorders. And it was constantly just that wanting to look a certain way to, you know, get likes, but at that time we weren't on social media, but so people could compliment you, because like I said earlier, I do believe like our natural human instinct for everybody is to feel loved, like be loved and to love others. So I was constantly in pursuit of that so-called love of what people would think about how I looked. When I look back at pictures, I think like, I don't know why I thought I looked so bad, because I looked really good. Like I was strong. I was always active. So kind of fast forward to, I guess now, being on social media over the last couple of years, that still was a little bit, even though I was working through a lot of this already with my body, I started to realize that some of the decisions I was making to show up on social media was still because of how I wanted people to, you know, get likes. You think you have to look like a certain person to be in the fitness industry or a certain person to sell fitness clothes, right? I think just continuing to do that work on myself to realize that you don't need to be like everybody else and you shouldn't be like everybody else. And I think if I really wanted to show that to my kids, like, it's not about what's on the outside, it's about what's on the inside. You have to constantly do that work. And self-love isn't about loving yourself every single minute of the day, but it is about loving yourself and making decisions most of the time on liking the skin that you're in. It's such important work. And I think that people don't realize that, you know, and this is why I wanted to do the book, was that teenagers and young kids are so impressionable as we talk about bodies, and we don't know what they're going through in terms of how they're feeling about their bodies. But if we're aware and we start to realize our dialogue, pay attention to, especially women, because we tend to have insecurities a lot earlier, then we can start to open our minds to how the external dialogue really impacts the internal dialogue for other people. Mm-hmm. And those battles with food and those battles with, you know, obsessive exercising, it perpetuates, right? So did end up suffering from infertility because I had already had those feelings of just not liking my body, really even more so angry and disappointed with my body. Mm-hmm. Until I had met, or not met, but I knew Courtney before, but until she had started showing up on social media and really talking about this subject of how abusive we can be to our bodies, would we ever talk about our best friend like that, the way we talk about ourselves mm-hmm. in our head? The difference in the shift that it made when I started to think about appreciating my body and loving my body for what it can do as opposed to what it looks like was just huge in everything else in my life as well.
Mm. And can you tell us a little bit about who Courtney is and what she does? Her last name is?
Yeah, Courtney St. Croix. I wouldn't say she started the movement. I mean, this is, like you said, it's kind of been around, the self-love. It's sort of, I don't want to say it's a movement, but it definitely is a movement. I mean, I think mm-hmm. my mom was growing up, she wouldn't have heard things like this, right?
Yeah.
But Courtney, Momfident AF is how you can find her. So she's Momfident AF on Instagram. And she started off with a lot of these, like a journal. There's a self-love journal that she started off. So I started using that, I want to say like 3 years ago. And it's a daily journal and it's a practice about speaking kind words about yourself was helpful as well. So that was a big shift. And then she slowly got into, she wrote her first book, which is Momfident as F. And that came out, I think, in January. And it's just a story and a journey about her own self-love. And now she's helping other women get their voice through telling their own stories and their journeys, how they got to this journey, I guess you could say, to self-love and self-acceptance and embracing themselves, just no matter what. Whatever it is that you're going through, I think we always think, I'll love myself when I have this number on the scale, or I'll love myself for me, like I'll love myself when I can get pregnant and carry to term, or I'll love myself when. Mm. It's about getting to that place where you love yourself now and, you know, throughout that journey that you're going through.
Mm. And so if you were coaching or talking someone through some of the things that if they made that decision that, yes, I definitely am at a point that I know it's got to start with me first. And I have to be able to detach myself from other people's opinions and those sort of things. Because I hear this all the time from social sellers and people working in mm-hmm. network marketing industry or anything that makes you feel a little bit vulnerable, putting yourself out there on social media, they feel that they will be judged by other people. So what advice would you give them in terms of how to start changing that, whether it be that internal dialogue or starting to really wrap their hands around how to make some changes here?
So I would say, I think, like I said before, we're all going to care a little bit about what other people are saying and thinking. And so a couple of things that I talked to about the reps that are Zaya Active reps. So there, I have some reps underneath me that are starting out and getting themselves on social media. And they're nervous about being mm-hmm. live and posting about themselves and posting pictures. And it does come from like, what are people going to say and think about me? The things that I've said recently to them is whether you do or you don't, people are going to have something to say about you. So mm-hmm. you decide not to do this and say you only post pictures or you post stock photos or you never get on camera, people will have something to say about it. If you get on camera, people will have something to say about it. So that's the first thing, recognizing that everybody has an opinion. Mm-hmm. And we are human and we judge others. It's not always from a bad place, but sometimes it is. And I think that you have to work through the stuff, the junk in your own head first, because sometimes you're thinking, like your brain, like you're saying, oh, this person's going to say this, or what if they say that about me? You need to stop and think, is that how I feel about me? So am I about my body? So that's why I think someone else is going to think, oh, you know, who is she to be a fitness coach? And work through that yourself, because it's the same thing when we are judging others. A lot of times it has to do with ourselves. Like, are we jealous? Are we not happy with the place that we're in? Is that why we're talking smack about Sue? And a lot of the time it has to do with deciphering the junk and the dialogue that goes on in your head. Pick it apart. If you have to write it out in a journal, and think, where is that thought coming from? Is that me and my own limiting beliefs? Is that how I feel about myself? Or is that am I projecting that on someone else?
Hmm. Yeah, it makes me think of a couple things that actually make me cringe a little bit, because it's like, you're never going to stop the dialogue and the unsolicited opinions. Mm-mm. There's a couple of people that I can recall that have made comments to me just even on my journey of being pregnant and stuff like that. Comments about like, oh, like, it looks like you're, don't take this the wrong way. It always starts with something like this. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, I can see you're carrying more weight in your hips and this and that. And I'm, you know, like my first reaction is to like tense up and go back to the, you know, that childlike state where I was dealing with fending off people telling me my body was, it needed to be a certain way and it wasn't. And, you know, it's like this instant, like visceral reaction to go mm-hmm. back there. And then also coming back from that, realizing like, I mean, for me, I think when you suffer is not the right word. When you endure challenges in getting pregnant or, you know, like being able to carry a baby, I don't know, my appreciation for my body it's changed. Like I just would never, ever judge myself based on those things. I'm like, I'm carrying life right now. There's nothing but gratefulness that I can feel for what I'm doing. But it also, like you said, it shines this like spotlight, unfortunately, on their own insecurities and how they talk to themselves. It's like all of a sudden that self-dialogue is like escaping from mm-hmm. their mouth. And it's like, just shut it down. But it is interesting because I think, you know, when I hear about this stuff and I think about, you know, I know boys deal with it too. And girls definitely get more of this. It makes me very concerned about what my daughter will experience and what she'll have to go through. But I think the difference and what I love about what you're saying is, you know, there's no way to shield it. Like you're not saying, well, go on social media and just like, you know,
don't care.
Like take those people away so they can't see your posts. It's like, cause there's always going to be those people out there that don't have a high, like they judge themselves so much on their own bodies. Mm-hmm. That's what their like brain is like a scanner, just looking at other people and judging them in the same way. But it's more so about teaching them how to efficiently deal with that using like, mm-hmm. you know, like using self-love is that skill set in order to, yeah, be able to overcome those situations and not let them impact you.
Mm-hmm. And kind of like your compass, right? Mm. You got to think about those decisions that you're making. Are you making a decision because of what you think someone else is going to say or not say? Because if that's the case, then that's where that work comes, right? So working through that and thinking, like, why am I doing that? Why am I so afraid to show up as myself? Is that about me or is that about others? Because it's not that it's going to completely go away. I think we're all human and we're going to have feelings about someone saying something like a rude comment. That's never going to go away unless you're completely like, I don't know. I think that that's going to be really hard to get over sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. but you have to be able to decipher that and let it pass and don't own it. Like if someone else is going to judge you and make a comment about your body or something you say, it's okay to feel it and be hurt by it, but don't own it. Don't and let it pass and continue to show up as you, because you know what you're doing is right for you. You love what you're doing. You love yourself. You love your dream. Don't give that person so much power. Don't make decisions based on what other people say is what I had to get to. Mm-hmm. Because you're giving them too much power over your life. Mm-hmm. They didn't ask for it and they probably don't want it. They probably don't even know that they're giving you that power. So you've got to let it go. And some of the things I do, I would say daily, because again, I think this is a daily practice. I don't think it's something you just arrive at. You're like, oh, I love myself all the time. For every negative thing I think about myself, I try and say at least 2 to 3 things that are positive. You know, there's the odd time where I like put on my pair of pants and like, oh, okay. Like quarantine 10 is a real thing right now. And then I'm like, no. Okay. So I'm, you know, this is a season I'm going through. I'm exercising every day. I am as patient as I can be as a mom right now. So I say those few things about myself how I am showing up and how I do love myself, because those thoughts are going to come. They're going to come in and out of your head. And I think it's just about that mindset work and being conscious of saying more positive things about yourself than the negative. That's what's helped me anyway.
Mm, yeah, I love that. Because I think, well, and it also goes with that idea that we're so much more prone to pointing out the and being aware of the negative, like scanning for the negative to keep ourselves safe and protected. So in having this like reaction to that, when that thought comes up, how to, you know, it's like forming a habit, right? For anyone mm-hmm. that's read Change Anything or Atomic Habits, like it's like mm-hmm. when I do this, this happens, you know, like yeah. it's, so I love that. I love that little mm-hmm. hack there. That's awesome. And so Adrian, where is the best place for people to find you, follow you, and to be able to reach out?
So I hang out mostly on Instagram. It's adrian.simplyintentional. And I also have a group on Facebook. It's Adrian's Zaya Mind and Body Wellness Community. So it, yes, it's about clothing. And I do talk about the clothing that I sell from Zaya Active, Active and Leisure Wear. But I talk a lot about mind and body wellness as well, and building that community of mind and body love, and in the pursuit of still being healthy and being aware of how our thoughts impact how we move, how we think, and how we love others.
Okay, awesome. And where is the best place for the listeners to find the Self-Love Club?
So the Self-Love Club book is going to go on pre-sales on May 25th. So that's when it's going to be available for pre-sales. And then it launches on June 1st on Amazon. So that's the day it's going to launch on Amazon. And we're going to be talking about it, myself and the other 19 authors of the each have a chapter. We are all going to be talking about it on our social media and our highlights and posting about that, about how you can get a hold of that book. But it will be for sale on Amazon and our personal sites. Mine is sort of under construction right now, but eventually we'll be able to sell them on our own sites as well. And it's also going to have an ebook, which is awesome if people don't want to hard copy, they can get their hands on an ebook.
Perfect. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Adrian. I appreciate all your wisdom and sharing your journey with us and all the tips that you've left us with.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Awesome. Perfect. That's so great. Thank you so much. If you're like 99% of coaches out there, you may be struggling with what to post daily and how to stop feeling like a salesy salesperson when you're sending hey girl messages or cold messages to people that you don't know, or maybe you're avoiding it altogether. I totally know how you feel. And when you don't have a posting strategy that's working to warm up your audience, it can really feel frustrating as to knowing how you're ever going to grow a business to the size that you want so that you can decide to quit your job, you can stay home with your kids, and you can build the authentic business of your dreams. And that's why we've created the Done For You Monthly Marketing Funnel. Now, this membership has not been open to the public for 3 months, and the waiting list is just getting started. You're going to see the Done For You Monthly Marketing Funnel open up in July, and you don't want to miss this opportunity to get on the waiting list. Go to ashleyshaw.ca/monthly-marketing-strategy and make sure to join the waiting list so you're the first to know as soon as the membership opens so that you can make sure you grab a spot. I'll see you on the inside of the next episode.